In the first reading, the Old Testament prophet Elisha, disciple of Elijah, blesses the woman for her kindness, and in turn, she receives a blessing, a miracle. Grace is given, and a son is conceived. Jesus also reminds us in the Gospel about the multiple blessings to come to those who are faithful to him. He says, "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who does this for one of my children does it to me, and I shall give them a blessing." Now, distinguish a blessing prayer, such as the prayer before grace, to an actual blessing from God, which we call an actual grace. They are divine powers that can change situations and solve issues in our lives. Just as we can tune into Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, unseen electronic technology that makes things happen and resolves issues, so too, at a spiritual level, God works in an unseen yet dynamic manner. Actual graces or blessings are the standard way that God intervenes in our life to help us with his divine power. Only in the next life, when all is revealed, will we see with clarity all the times and degrees of spiritual assistance that we were given. In fact, we cannot even say a prayer from the heart or seek forgiveness from another without his grace first moving our wills. And never forget either, the notion of forgiveness is a Christian belief. It's a divine reality that we can do only because God's grace helps us do it. Actual grace should not be confused with what we call sanctifying grace. Both have God as their source, but what they do and how they do it varies significantly. What is sanctifying grace? Well, it's sometimes called the state of grace. We belong in the state of New South Wales, thank goodness. And the word state implies here a sense of belonging. So the state of grace is belonging to God. Another term for sanctifying grace is habitual grace, which means that it's a part of us. It belongs in us. What's a habit? Well, apart from being a form of dress, it's something that disposes us to action. It becomes second nature. Take, for example, the habit of tying your shoelaces, or cleaning your teeth. Yes, cleaning your teeth is a habit. To prove it, just try and clean your teeth with your opposite hand when you realize how much of a habit it is. Or tying a tie, or riding the bicycle. That was a habit. There was once upon a time you couldn't do that, but by repeated action and practice, you picked up the habit of bike riding. Most of our day, in fact, is filled with actions which have become habits, well-worn over the years, that make life most comfortable and easy, and sometimes uncomfortable for others. Depends what the habit is. And learning new habits when one is older is most challenging. Just ask a 90-year-old to start using a smartphone for the first time and you'll find out how difficult it is. Anyway, habitual grace is second nature in those who are baptized and endows the recipient, such as ourselves, with multiple blessings. Firstly, grace in our soul means we're righteous with God. He dwells within. And therefore, we have a right to call God our Father, for we are his adopted children. And the indwelling of the Trinity is a reality of presence that lies within. And since God is our Father, heaven is our home. We have a right to go there. And we're connected too with the saints, our older brothers and sisters who have been where we are and we hope to be where they are. These are some of the realities of sanctifying grace, that permanent disposition within the soul. It's permanent, but it can be lost. It can be lessened by venial sins. However, it can also be increased or bolstered by works of charity. Sadly, it is lost through mortal sin when we turn away from God. And with that, we lose also charity, for sanctifying grace and charity are always entwined together, somewhat like two sides of a coin. Lose one, you lose the other. Now we need to die in the state of grace or sanctifying grace in order to be able to enter heaven. In other words, we need to be connected to God's power as we exit this world. Otherwise, we cannot be where he is because we have nothing in common with him. And that's one reason why the church has her last rites, so that we can ensure people who have drifted from the faith their ultimate return, repentance, forgiveness, healing, and assurance of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is assisted by actual graces. And to explain this, we need to understand that actual grace, or God's blessings, which come and go, manifest themselves in a threefold mode or way. Firstly, actual graces dispose us to receive sanctifying grace. So non-Catholics or non-baptized are receiving daily, perhaps, graces from God so that they'll be inspired to be baptized. And those who are baptized are receiving daily graces to help them maintain the state of grace. Secondly, actual graces increase sanctifying grace in our soul by inspiring us to practice the works of mercy, 7 for the body and 7 for the soul. And lastly, actual graces preserve us in the state of grace. They act like a buffer to protect us losing sanctifying grace through mortal sin. That's the threefold mode of action of actual graces on a daily basis in our life. Now tomorrow we celebrate the solemnity of two great saints, Peter and Paul. Both were sinners who became famous saints in heaven. Simon, who was renamed Peter or rocked by the Lord, denied him thrice on the evening of his death. And Saul, also known as Paul, who persecuted the church and encouraged the death of Christians such as Saint Stephen, also became a great saint. One betrayed the head of the church, while the other the body of the church. Both were in mortal sin, and both received actual graces to repent and seek forgiveness. Saint Peter, once restored after his threefold affirmation of love in Galilee, remained steadfast to his crucifixion, and St. Paul, after his conversion on the way to Damascus, preached Christ until his death by beheading. Peter, as head of the church, first at Antioch and then in Rome, died in the same year as Paul, who, after being a missionary, was arrested and beheaded, as I said. Both witnessed with their blood to the Lord, whom they once betrayed. In each and every step of their journey to heaven, actual graces or blessings were given by the Lord to assist in their progress. We too, like them, are being accompanied by his actual graces daily when we are faithful to our prayers and seek his will before our own.